friends. Welcome to We Are the BYC. I'm Dawn, the human behind the Instagram account at Baby Yoda SD, inviting you to join us for a delightful journey into the heart of the Baby Yoda community. Picture this podcast as your exclusive invitation to a favorite neighborhood coffee shop, where enthusiastic members of the BYC gather to share heartwarming stories and laughter, uncovering the untold tales and vibrant personalities of the humans behind these precious baby Yodas, whether you're a longtime member or a newcomer. Get ready to join the fun as we embark on an adventure filled with camaraderie, emotion, and a whole lot of baby Yoda love. Pull up a chair, grab your favorite drink, and let's dive in. Today we have the pleasure of hearing from Katie, one half of the creative duo behind the adorable and hilarious account Clonk and Bonk. I hope you enjoy the show.
Thank you, first of all, for coming on, for agreeing to come on and talk today.
Oh, of course. I'm so excited about this. As soon as I saw that it was announced, I thought, I want to be a part of this if you would have me.
Oh gosh, everybody. I want everybody to come on. I'm like, when I started this, I'm like, I wonder if anybody would really be interested in it. So yeah, I'm very excited to talk to you. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, like where you're from, where you live?
Yeah, I live in Vancouver. I'm actually from Langley, which is an hour outside of Vancouver, but I normally just say Vancouver because everybody, well, not everybody, but a lot of people know Vancouver. They can place that on a map. But yeah, that's where I am. I've been here my whole life. I have traveled a fair bit, but I've never lived in another country or city really outside of the Vancouver area.
I've been to Vancouver once, and I was amazed at how just beautiful it is. And it's big. It's a big city. Like, everything you could ever want is right there. So where's like some places you've traveled to?
Mexico a lot, Europe a few times, Australia. That was super special.
I always have wanted to go there. How long was that flight?
I'm probably gonna get it wrong, but it's at least 15 hours, probably more than that.
I can't imagine. I think that's the only thing that would prevent me from going there. Being on an airplane for that long would be torturous. So we know that you're in school. What are you doing in school, or what school do you go to?
Yeah, I'm at the University of British Columbia, which is in Vancouver. And I'm a master's student. I just started my master's this September, but I did my Bachelor of Arts there at the same institution, so I already know kind of the faculty and everything. And I'm studying French literature specifically.
That's amazing. So you went from like your bachelor's just directly into a master's program?
Yeah, well, technically, there was this weird overlap period because I quickly discovered that 5 courses in 1 semester was too much for me and like my mental health. And so I was in this weird position where I was going to be starting in September, but finishing my bachelor's in the summer. So I had this weird overlap where I hadn't graduated, but I was taking graduate courses. And then on a random, I think it was a Wednesday, November, I went to my convocation.
That's a lot at once to like kind of do. So what kind of drew you into the French literature?
When I was a tiny human, my parents decided to put me in French immersion. They thought it would be a good opportunity for the future. So I stuck with that. I got to UBC, didn't really know what to study, and I knew I liked French. So I decided to continue on with that, did really well. And when I was in my last year, I was kind of deciding, okay, I know I want to teach, but I don't know high school, elementary school professor, is that even an option for me? And then some of my professors were saying, we really think you could do a master's. We'd love you to stay if you would consider doing that. So I applied, I got in, and I'm doing a master's now in French.
My gosh, that's really cool.
Thank you.
So you're going to be, you do want to be a teacher someday?
Yeah. This past term, September to December, I was a TA, a teaching assistant for the first time, and I absolutely loved it. So definitely, definitely want to teach, but I don't know. I think I want to do a PhD, but that's a lot of time and a lot of money. So I have to think more before I decide that, but definitely teach in some capacity.
Oh, wow. So where were you a TA? Were you there at your university as a TA?
Yeah, it was a romance studies course, which is kind of a new branch of courses they're doing there. And basically, you look at literature from all of the romance countries, so France, Italy, Spain, but in English translation. So it's a way to get students in other faculties and disciplines to kind of learn about the romance world and maybe find a new interest.
How cool. So you were helping kind of like your peers almost.
Yeah, I was really excited about it, but also terrified because the professor who was my supervisor, she said during my first meeting with the other TA, there were two TAs for this class. It's a Tuesday, Thursday class. So on Tuesday, we'll do lecture. And then on Thursday, I want us in three separate sections so that we can each discuss the reading in a smaller group. So I was entirely responsible of 30 students once a week. And I had never done anything like that before. It was so scary.
Oh my gosh. And you say you're an introvert.
Yeah. And the very first time I did it, it went quite well. And I cried after because I was just so proud of myself that I had survived and not fallen apart in the middle.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's amazing when you can actually push yourself to go outside of what you're comfortable with. Like, amazing things can happen. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I'm not a TA this semester, maybe next year, but I really miss it. It was so, so nice.
Oh, gosh. I think you've totally found your calling, Katie. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at least there's no doubt now that that is what you want to do. I know a lot of people, when they go to school, they don't, you know, they get their degrees or whatever, but they don't always find a career in that field that they studied. So, I mean, obviously, this is the right fit for you. So that's really great.
Yeah.
Oh, I just wanted to ask you about a little bit more about that. When in your questions here, you said you're really interested in books and authors that play with the line between fiction and reality.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of a book would fit that?
So, since I'm master's, my institution, they offer either a course-based master's or a thesis-based master's. So I'm thinking thesis because how cool to have a big piece of writing. And I'm planning to compare two novels. And one of them is called Dora Bruder. And it's mostly a true story. It's about this guy who found a newspaper article about a missing girl, like in some archival stuff. And then he tries to reconstruct what happened to her. And it kind of bounces back between him and her. And if you go on Google, Dora Bruder was a real girl who disappeared because of World War II and all of everything. But there's some like fiction with it. So it's like, how much do I trust this narrator? How much is being invented? And then the other book, it's called Ash, 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 Ash. So H four times in a row. It's like an acronym. And it's retelling the true assassination of a SS officer, but the narrator is really guiding you through the story and kind of talking about how he wrote it, like this book that you're currently reading. And he says like, this chapter that you just finished reading, I had so much trouble with it, or I couldn't decide if I wanted to put dialogue in the scene or not because I wasn't there to witness the dialogue. But if there had been a dialogue, this is what I imagine it would be. So it's really, I don't know. I just, does that make any sense?
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense because I was wondering what that meant with when you said makes meta comments. I was like, what does that mean? So yeah, I think I have read things like that before and it is pretty interesting. It's like you're having a like almost like a one-on-one discussion with the author when they do that.
Yeah. They feel like they're right there next to you and you're like writing it with them or reading it while they're writing it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is pretty cool. I didn't know that that was actually a thing. I don't know. That is really interesting and fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so talking about school. The question comes from Carol La Loca. She is mom of Pepito 666, you know?
Oh, Pepito, yeah.
So she asks, how is a day for you at the university and do you feel very accepted there?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, going back a little bit, before I got Clonk, my Yoda, I brought a small rabbit to the campus with me. So I was already used to bringing a stuffed animal. And then when I started bringing my Yoda, it's much harder to tuck him away in my backpack. But I've never had a bad experience. I don't bring him every single day because if it's raining, well, except for that one time I made that post this week. If it's raining really bad, I usually leave him at home. A lot of people, when they see Klonk, they're just like, oh, he's so cute. What's the deal with this doll? I go about my day. I go to my classes. He comes to my classes. He doesn't really, I don't make him the focus of attention. He's just kind of either on my lap or sitting with a friend. If a friend's having a bad day, I'll pass him over. Yeah.
I guess that kind of goes into one of the questions that about coworkers, family, or other people, if they know about your account or know about the babies.
Yeah, I have two specific stories for like my professors and Klonk. So the first one, there are several couples within the department at UBC for the French, Hispanic, Italian studies, which is my department. And one of them, he loves Star Wars. So the first time I brought Klonk to one of his classes, he was super excited about it. And then his wife also teaches, but I only had her once. So a couple of weeks ago, I went to this kind of Francophone event that my university was hosting, and the wife was there, and she wanted to hold Klonk, and she said, oh my god, it's like holding my child when he was a baby, because these two professors, they have a child together. And I was like, because that's the feeling I get when I hold Klonk, like he's a baby, he feels like a baby. I know he's not alive, but like the way he feels, the way I can hold his hand. And to hear that from a professor who's like fully educated and everything made me feel great about myself and that whole situation.
Oh, that's so sweet. But yeah, that's exactly true. I don't have kids myself, but my sisters all had kids, and I would, you know, I would help them babysit, and I remember packing their little babies around, and that is exactly what they feel like, just little babies. And I like that, that she was like, oh, this is like a baby. It gives credence to us.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other story, I took a seminar about the author Proust, and Proust, if you don't know, he writes these monster long books. Well, he has A la recherche du temps perdu, which is in 7 volumes, and every volume is like 300 pages minimum. And a lot of people ended up dropping the course because it was just so much reading, but I loved it, and I stayed on until the end. And one day, there were people sick, so it was just me, the professor, and one other student, and I had Klonk with me. And the prof said, well, I guess it's just the 4 of us today. So he counted Klonk and the number of people present.
It's so funny because they, like, people do see them like that, you know. It's not just a toy or a doll or a stuffed animal. Like, I don't know what it is about them, but they really put forth this energy.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so cute. I love that. So I think that was gonna kind of, that kind of goes into, because you mentioned your professor was a major Star Wars fan. So were you a Star Wars fan prior to Baby Yoda and the Mandalorian?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was kind of surprised in the first episode when you talked and Nicole talked that you weren't really Star Wars people, because I've been a Star Wars person my whole life. And then when I saw that they were making a Baby Yoda, I was like, this is amazing. So I asked my parents a few days ago if they remembered how old I was when I first watched Star Wars, and they said no. But I imagine fairly young at some point in elementary school, because when I was 9 years old, my brother and I received the Lego Death Star set for Christmas.
Oh gosh.
And it was a huge deal for us. We were so excited because it was one of the biggest Star Wars Lego sets available at the time, and just such an iconic part from the movie. And we spent the next 4 or 5 days just in my bedroom building it, only leaving to like eat.
Wow. I bet. Do you guys still have it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And our Star Wars Lego collections have just grown immensely, especially my brother's. He likes the Ultimate Collector's series sets, the like really, really huge ones. And I like them too, but I don't have a ton of space, so I have kind of smaller ones.
Those things are, I mean, I have not put together anything giant like that, but it's not just like a toy or like, gosh, yeah, display that thing for life. That's how I would. Those are really awesome. So, okay, how many babies are part of your account?
There's mostly two, Wonk and Bonk. They're twins. They're really great. And then there's also Splonk, but Splonk doesn't belong to me. He belongs to the UBC Knitting and Sewing Club, and I'm the current president of said club. And this is my second year being president. And the first year I ran for president, I would always bring Clonk to the meetings because I knit a lot of outfits for him. And everyone really liked him. And they're like, oh, we should really have Baby Yoda as our mascot. But I didn't want Clonk to be the mascot because then when I graduate, I'd have to leave him behind.
Oh yeah.
So I went on Amazon and ordered another. So now there's kind of three floating around. And when I do graduate, I will not be seeing Splonk anymore, which makes me very sad.
Oh no.
Well, I can't because he's part of the
I guess.
club, right?
Oh my
Like,
gosh.
I'll still like see him on their Instagram page promoting knitting club stuff, but
True.
yeah, so Clonk, Bonk,
I
and
love those names. And you know what? This is funny because one of our questions here is, you know, what are their names and how do they get their names? Do you know, I'm sure you can guess what the number one question from the community was. It was, what were their names, or what, how did you get their names? And we, so let me tell you who asked this, because there's like 10. So Stewie the Child, Life of Baby Yoda, Jesse Joker, Baby Yoda Nova, Yodi Rise of Adventure, Teeny Tiny Yoda, Baby Yoda Landed in Italy, and Baby Green Bean all wanted to know that.
Oh
How
my
did you get
goodness.
their name?
That's so
Yeah.
sweet. I mean, I guess a lot of people kind of just play with Baby Yoda or Grogu. So I guess I can understand why they're curious about these names. I guess I'll start with Clonk then. So Clonk, before he arrived, I have a lot of goofy words in my vocabulary. So when I would hear a loud noise or bump into something, I started to say Clonk, like an onomatopoeia, like in poetry, because that's kind of what the sound reminded me of. And then, like, my whole family started doing it. And then when this baby Yoda arrived, I kind of looked at him, and I knew a normal person name wouldn't really work for something so cute and kind of out of this world. And then I thought, Clonk might work. And then also, if you gently pat the heads of the Yodas, it's kind of like a little drum, and it kind of was a clonkish noise. So I thought, perfect, his name was Glonk.
That's the cutest thing. It's super unique though, and that's what makes it so fun, I think, because nobody else has a clonk.
No, nobody else has a clonk. And you can also kind of, in my family, if someone's doing something really loud next door, we'll say, oh, what is that clonking? Or instead of a curse word, we might say, what the clonk? Or at least I do.
So clonk can also be interchanged, used interchangeably with a curse word.
Yeah, I don't do
That's
that too
funny.
often, but I don't think Clonk would be very happy if he knew that.
Yeah, probably not. And then what about bonk?
So Bonk, okay, they're twins, but Clonk arrived before Bonk because I wanted a Yoda, and then my brother was getting kind of jealous, so he wanted his own. So Bonk got his name because we really wanted something, my brother and I, that would sort of match with Clonk. So we were going through the alphabets trying to see what would sound nice with Clonk, and we settled on Bonk.
It's got to be the most perfect set of names for babies, Clonk and
We were also very tempted by Zonk. So if I ever get another one, it will be named Zonk.
I love that.
Hopefully no one else takes it now, but
I know. Well, it's already been claimed. It's funny how you say if you ever get another one, you probably will, because it seems like I started out with one, then I got two, and then three, and then four, and the next thing you know, I have like 10. Like, I don't know how it happens, but so yeah, you're gonna have to come up with more names on the back burner to give these babies.
Yeah.
What is their personalities like? Because I know all the babies have their own personalities.
Yeah. So Clonk is kind of who I want to be. Because Clonk is very outgoing, very kind of ambitious, extroverted, and I'm very introverted. Like, if I am... I find Clonk really helps me make friends, because carrying around Clonk is almost an outward projection of, oh, I'm somebody who likes Star Wars, I like Grogu, I like knitting, and I don't even have to say anything for someone to kind of see that, and it just kind of, it breaks the ice.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Clonk, he loves knitting, he loves reading, he loves helping people feel better. I always feel better when I have him with me, and if a friend seems sad or stressed, I'll say, oh, do you want to borrow Clonk? And they'll usually say yes, and then they feel better.
I really like how you describe that, because I do feel like Jojo, he's like my first baby. I feel like he is kind of like that for me, where he's outgoing, very talkative with his friends, and, you know, willing to do whatever, and I'm not, which is funny that I'm doing this right now with you, because
yeah.
This would not be anything I would have ever thought I would do, because I don't like attention. I don't mm-hmm. like to, I don't want to say I don't like to talk to people, but I get very nervous when I'm talking to people.
Yeah, me too.
And so, yeah, Jojo is the opposite of that. And so it's so interesting that you said that, you know, Clonk is kind of who you would like to be.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that with Jojo.
I'd love to have no worries.
Yeah, right? And then Splunk, how did you get his name?
So Splunk wasn't necessarily my decision, because he belongs to the club. And so I thought we can have a vote on the name. It might be really fun. And there were so many suggestions. Like, he ended up as Splunk, but there were like thread, yarn, just plain Baby Yoda. I can't remember all of them right now. But it ended up being, it wasn't exactly a tie. It was like 1 point separating Baby Soda, as in sewing, S-E-W, and Splonk. And I thought, it's so close. And so many people, the people who wanted Splonk, really wanted Splonk. And they were calling him Splonk before the vote was finalized. So I thought, he'll just have two names, Splonk and Baby Soda, but I usually just call him Splonk. So that's Splonk.
That's so cute. Yeah, he has to be. He has to be. I mean, Baby Soda, that's pretty imaginative.
He's pretty good.
But Splonk, for sure. He just totally fits the fits the vibe of the fam.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about Splonk, what is his personality?
Yeah. Splunk is a little bit more mysterious to me, because I mainly see him at the knitting club meetings, but he seems kind of similar to Clonk in the way that he really likes helping people, and he loves everything knitting, sewing, crochet. I made him his main outfit that he wears, but the idea was kind of that he could be someone for the club members to practice making clothing for if they didn't want to make something safe for themselves quite yet. But yeah, he's a ray of sunshine, and some people, they will come to a meeting just like for the first time just because they saw Splunk. Not because they're interested in knitting, like they might stay and learn, but they're like, oh, I'm here for Splunk.
That's cute. He's definitely a good mascot and bringing people in. And how is Bonk? Bonk's a little bit different from them.
Yeah, so Bonk, his defining personality trait is sleeping, because I don't live with my brother right now because we're going to different universities, so he's at home with my parents and he has Bonk with him. So usually I have to ask him to send me pictures of Blanc, and he always says like, oh, I can't, he's sleeping, because my brother doesn't want to go take pictures of Blanc. He wants to do homework or do Lego or do something else. So that just kind of became his thing. He sleeps all the time, so I have tons of pictures of him sleeping. And then he really likes snacking. He likes food. And then Teacher Charlie sometimes gets mad at him for some of his assignments that involve poop or farting. I don't know where that came from, but that's a part of his personality too. He really likes kind of bathroom humor, and he's not shy about it.
Does he have more of your brother's personality trait? Does it come from him at all?
He might not be happy when he listens to the podcast. I don't think so. I think it's just because I'm more involved in the community than he is. Because he does, I'm pretty sure he has the login credentials for the account, but I'm the one who does all of the posts. And I always have to tell him, like, oh, this is the assignment for this week from Teacher Charlie. Let me know what Bonk wants to do. And then he'll send me a photo and be like, I think he's going to skip this one. So Bonk isn't doing super good in school right now. But he passed last year. I think he'll pass this year.
He'll write it out probably. Teacher Charlie, he's been very accommodating, I guess, of babies who are a little less than A students.
Yes. So, yeah.
You will be good, I think. That's funny. So it kind of makes me, or it kind of leads into the question about the Baby Yoda community, and how did you even find the BYC?
I didn't know it was a thing. I had my own personal, I still have my own personal Instagram, and I was putting some photos up on there, my story of Clonk. Just kind of like, oh, I have a Yoda now, and then just in and around the house, and I was really enjoying it, but I didn't want my friends to like be like, what the heck is this? What's wrong with Katie? Is she good? Or I kind of wanted to keep it separate. So I made an, not that I'm ashamed of it, I felt like it was gonna become something big because of how much I like stuffed animals in general. So I made the Clonk and Bonk account in August 2020, and people were commenting saying like, hi friend, welcome, how are you, what's your name? And I was like, whoa, what is this? This is so cool. Because I know there's dog accounts, cats accounts, but Baby Yoda, that's so interesting, that's so cool. And then I found there were so many of us. Yeah, kind of by accident.
But it is so interesting when you find that there are people that are just like you, like they have these babies and they just want to share them with the world, and then yeah, they start having interactions between each other. It's such a cool thing. But I get what you're saying about how not wanting, and it's not being ashamed of having the babies, but wanting to keep those parts of your life separate. Because I feel like for me that the Baby Yoda community is kind of like my little safe place.
Yeah,
like it's where you go when you're having a bad day, or you know, just not, I mean, not only for that, but if you're in those times when you're just not feeling yourself, you go to the community, and there's always somebody there, there's always somebody to make you smile and laugh, and
yeah,
so it's important, I think, for some people to keep them separate.
And I'd be totally okay with putting myself on the Clonk and Bonk account, but it's not about me, it's about them and what they're up to.
Yeah, exactly, that's how I feel too. It's like I don't it's the babies, in fact, you know, they're doing the pictures themselves, or you know,
there's a few pictures of me up there. At first I would cover my face or crop it out, but I just gave up eventually. But yeah, it's not really about me, it's about them.
Yeah, totally, I totally agree. What's the funniest, like the most, or if you've had any, some people haven't had any funny or embarrassing moments, but when you've been out like in public taking pictures with the baby?
Yeah, not a lot, because usually I try to be somewhat discreet about it. again, not because I'm ashamed, but just I don't want to bother anybody if they're trying to study because they take a lot of pictures on campus. But this one time, I went to a funny, distress, not distressing, de like reduced stress activity thing near exam time. And I brought Clonk because I thought this is great. I can get pictures of Clonk with some bunnies. It's going to be great. Bunnies are my favorite animal. But they were scared of Clonk. They didn't want to go near him. Even if I put food, like some lettuce, kind of right by him, they were not interested. And the other students who were there with the bunnies were trying to help, but it didn't work out. So I just ended up making the post about bunnies running away from Clonk and Clonk being sad about it.
I remember that
Yeah.
post. It worked. It's so funny that
Yeah, yeah,
it
yeah. Even the volunteers with the rabbits, like they were trying to help, and like, oh, I don't know, it's just they must not like him.
poor baby. He just wanted to play with the
Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't gonna hurt them.
That's so funny. Have you met anybody, like any actual BYC members or friends in person?
Not very many because being in Vancouver, there aren't a lot. I see a lot of times there's meetups in the States, but I'm in Canada. I could cross the border, but they seem to be kind of more Eastern, or maybe I'm just not looking in the right place. But I have met Boba, baby Boba, because his human was also a UC student, but he's graduated now, so don't really cross paths with him as much. But we spent several hours together walking around campus, taking photos, mostly at the Naitobi Memorial Garden, which is a Japanese garden on campus. And it was so nice. It was really, really good. I'd love to meet more people.
Well, I know you have a few community members there in Vancouver.
Yeah, Isabel and Morvato and Lindsay. But it just hasn't materialized, but I'd really like to meet some of them.
Lindsay came to Las Vegas in October, and so I got to meet her. Oh my gosh, she's so sweet. We had a lot of fun. There's gonna be, I don't know if you knew about the, I know Nova Scotia is a long ways away from Vancouver, but there is that meetup happening this summer, I guess. Any chance you would go to that?
Oh, maybe. Because in June, I'm going to Jasper, but I don't have any plans really for later in the summer. Yeah, I don't know. Oh, thanks for letting me know. I'll definitely think about it, and I'll have to, if I plan to go, I'll have to ask my brother, hey, can I take Bonk?
Oh my gosh, yes. Oh yes, Clunk and Bonk have to come.
They're a package deal.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. So you've been in the community since August 2020. That is a good long time. What is it that keeps you in the community?
Everyone's just so nice. Sometimes, like I'm getting worse at replying to comments because there's just so many, which is so great. I'm not complaining, but I have my homework I need to do, so it kind of falls on the back burner sometimes. But I just love everyone's positivity, everyone's kindness, and I think also by school because it gives my account a bit more structure and kind of some, I don't want to say guidelines, but just some more ideas because I'm not always feeling super creative. And then if Teacher Charlie says, oh, what's your favorite snack? What's your favorite place to go visit? It's like, okay, I can work with that. That's easy to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I find that too with BY school because my posting has gone down a lot. But if it's one thing I can do, it's BY school because I don't have to really come up with anything. It's like it's already there for you. So that's been really helpful. I was wondering if the babies are gonna go to school next year because I feel like like oh gosh, that's such a commitment. And if I'm not feeling like it, but it's the only thing that keeps me posting when I don't want to. So I think they'll have to keep going. And it's nice for them to enjoy the time with their classmates and do fun things.
And the yearbook? Have you seen this year's yearbook?
Yes.
They're so gorgeous. I can't believe Nicole puts all that effort into them. I'm so thankful and grateful.
It's so adorable. I really want to, I've seen some people who have gotten them printed out, and I want to do that. Like, I want to actually have like a book, like an actual book. I have to do that at some point.
Yeah.
So cute. Can you imagine what, like, if you do those online company, it would be that would print it out. If they saw it, they're like, what is this thing? I love that though. That's so funny. So you did mention that you speak French and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up learning Spanish?
Yeah. So in high school, I was still doing the French immersion thing. And then I really wanted to learn German because my high school offered German, but not enough people signed up for it. And I was really bummed out. And then I saw they also had Spanish, and I was kind of on the fence about it because I had my heart really, really set on German. But then I think it was my dad, both my parents, but my dad, they were like, do Spanish. It'll be fun. It's still another language. You love languages. You'll do well. So I did Spanish and I loved it. And then I did a Spanish minor when I got to UBC. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You can speak French and Spanish pretty fluently.
Yeah, French more than Spanish because I did more French courses and I've been doing French for longer. And then I did do German 100 or 101 right before COVID hit. And then that class got kind of weird because of the professors not knowing what to do. And it was really hard. So I don't know. I wanted to learn German because I've been to Germany a bunch of times and it's one of my favorite places to visit. So I thought, German, I need to learn German.
Yeah.
But it's so difficult. The grammar, it was too much.
Wow.
Maybe in the future.
I have the worst time with languages. I've been trying to learn Spanish for, I feel like, most of my adult life. But I think it's just because I don't practice it. I have every opportunity to use it here in San Diego, but I just feel stupid. Like, I just feel dumb not being able to think of the word or conjugate the verbs correctly. So that's pretty awesome that you did that and you've, you know, done pretty well with it.
Thanks. That's another reason why I like the community so much, because there's people from all over the world and some of them do comment in French or Spanish, and I'll do my best to reply in those languages to keep kind of that conversation going.
Yeah, that is cool. People do appreciate that when you do speak their language. That's cool, Katie. So any hobbies, anything you can do outside of school and everything else?
Yeah, I love knitting and I'm learning crochet. Crochet's pretty good too. I really like reading. I like Lego. I have a lot of Lego, not as much as my brother. He has like a whole kind of city on a bunch of IKEA tables and has his own Instagram with that.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah, I always ask him for pictures of Bonk in the city because Lego is one of Bonk's things. And then what else? Jigsaw puzzles. I have too many hobbies, really, for the amount of time I have to do them.
I know. When do you ever sleep?
I usually get my 8 hours.
I find, like, just having any free time, well, if I'm not spending my free time on Instagram, I would love to get back into reading. I used to read, like, nonstop. I would be, my entire summers when I was in school, my summers were spent reading, and I really miss it.
Yeah, I can relate. There was this one time, I guess it was grade 11. My family went to Mexico for spring break, like an all-inclusive, and I brought 3 books with me, finished all of them. And then the hotel resort place had a small library, and I read 2 books from there in the span of like a week.
Wow, that sounds like kind of heaven.
Yeah, it was so wonderful. And now that I'm doing a master's, I have no time for kind of leisure reading. I have so many readings to do for my courses. But luckily, most of them I really, really enjoy.
I'm intrigued to look up these books that you were talking about, even though I never have time. Okay, so I guess should we just go ahead and ask the remaining questions from the community?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. The Real Baby Yoda Sweden, they ask, what's your favorite thing about Vancouver?
Oh, that's a good question. I could say my least favorite thing is the rain. There's way too much rain. but my favorite thing? That's tough. Because I don't feel super duper in touch with the city. I feel like I could live elsewhere because of doing lots of traveling. But I guess favorite thing? I like that the summers are not crazy hot because I do not like the heat. And then just the trees. I love trees. Being able to go and find nature super easily anytime I want.
Yeah. The whole Pacific Northwest is just... I love it. That's one thing I miss about it being here in California is we don't have the trees, the greenery like there is up there. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Baby Yoda fan Dale, he asks, do you recognize Yodi as King of Canada? Yodi Rise of Adventure, I think, is who he's referring to.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. But Chip is also king, isn't he?
Yeah.
Wait, what's Chip's jurisdiction? Is it just England or is it... What are the politics of this situation?
All right. And we also have King Leo, who...
Yeah?
What are the definitions of king and where's their... What kingdoms do they rule over?
I'm supportive of any monarch with good policies.
Okay, love that. Very well worded. Okay. Baby Yoda, Cutie Star Wars says, what adventures have you two brothers gone on recently?
Oh, clonk and bonk. Well, this semester has been pretty busy for me, so the two brothers haven't spent a ton of time together. So I guess the most recent exciting adventure would have been to the Vancouver Christmas Market. Clonk went 2 years ago, but this was Bonk's first time, and Bonk liking food, that was really exciting, and all of the people there were excited to see these two little Yodas going around to all of the little shops with the Christmas decorations and everything. So I guess that would be the most recent.
That's really cute. All right, Toyn Not Grogu asks, why does Clonk wear a dress?
The main reason is because when I first got Clonk, I knew that the default outfit was not Clonk. It was not his personality. So I went into my closet to find all of my old doll clothes to see if anything would fit him. And I found that dresses were the easiest because of him having no legs. And I thought it was really cute. And that yellow dress that Clonk wears fairly often, that was my aunt's when she was a baby. She wore that dress as a baby. So the first time she saw Clonk in that dress, she was so excited, so aww, happy. So yeah, Clonk just, he wears whatever he wants. He's happy with pinks and purples. He's happy with any color.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he looks adorable in the dress. And it, to me, it was like, well, why not? Because the robe that they wear is very much like a dress in a way, so
yeah,
it's just an extension of that.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Okay, Daddy Loves Grogu, what's your favorite Canadian food?
Oh, it's a good question. There's this thing in Quebec called tir, and basically you put maple syrup on like icy snow and then you roll it up like a lollipop. It's so hard to get the snow to the correct texture, but it's so good because it's basically just warm kind of gooey maple syrup. And then I really like Timbits from Tim Hortons. Anytime I'm flying, it's like, gotta get Timbits.
Are those, that's basically like donut holes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one Canadian food that I don't like, which is kind of controversial, is poutine. I find it too gooey, too messy, too much going on. I like fries, I like gravy, and I like cheese, but not all together. I want to decide how much cheese, how much gravy I'm getting on each fry. I don't want it all mixed together.
That's funny. No, I've never had it, but that's something that I've always heard. Oh, you've got to try it. It's the best thing. Everybody loves it. But do you know of In-N-Out burgers?
I don't think we have those, but I've heard of them.
You've heard of it. Yeah. So you can get their fries animal style, they call it.
Yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah. And I've seen people get it and I'm like, no, maybe that's kind of the same thing as poutine. Like, I just don't want all of that stuff that's going on. Like, it would be nice to maybe try a little bit on the side, but not my whole entire French fry experience. So Worked Wednesdays, how did you come up with that? Or where did that come from?
Yeah, I guess it was this summer. My brother and I got new phones and we were having a lot of fun with the 0.5 camera mode with our own faces and making them kind of distorted. And I thought, oh, this would be great for Konk and Bonk. Let me see if it works on them. And it did. And it was hilarious. And then also some Snapchat filters and Instagram filters worked on them. And I thought, I'd love to see what other people would do to their Yodas, like what kind of effects they would want to use. So, and I also, this was because Peanut and is it Dr. T who started the Tumbling Tuesday? Yeah, I saw that was going on. I thought, oh, this would be so fun to have another kind of reoccurring thing, but I don't know if anyone would do it. So I reached out to Grogster because I've known Grogster for a long time. And I thought maybe it would be something they would like, the four of them. And they said yes. So then we started Warp Wednesday. And so every Wednesday, people use some sort of effect on themselves. And just to be silly, it's completely ridiculous.
But we need that. It's like it is something so funny to look forward to. I totally die laughing at these pictures of the baby. Oh my God. That was a good thing to come up with. I gotta say, Katie, your posts are so funny. Like, just the captions, like it's like, I don't want to say deadpan, but it's that type of humor that's just very much like, this is how it is. Like, it's not, you're not trying to make a funny joke or anything. You're just saying, what was one I saw? I was looking at your posts today. There was something, it was from a while back though. Oh gosh, of course I can't remember it. But it was just, I laughed so much because Klonk was doing something. Oh no, it was Bonk. It was balancing a fish on his head.
Oh, that is far back. Yeah, but it was a stocking stuffer. It's hello, Bonk has been busy trying to balance his fishy friend on his head between naps. Why? Nobody knows.
That struck me as so funny. Cause I just imagine this baby over there, like you might just be half like casually walking by and glance over and you're like, oh, you have a fish on your head. Okay. Nobody knows why, but let's just continue on. He's just like, that's so funny.
Thank you. And I write them in the third person because I like to think Klonk and Bonk are talking in the third person. This isn't me talking. This is them talking, in case that wasn't clear for anybody.
It's such a funny way to do it. And that's the thing I like about the accounts too. Like, people's accounts are so very diverse and different, the way they set them up and the way the babies talk. And it's so cool. Okay. Well, you have to come back on again someday when you're a teacher or when you're doing something. Cause I plan for the community to be here for like the next 20 years. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We're going to have like a 10-year reunion, like high school.
Yep, absolutely. You totally will.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Katie, well, thank you so much for coming on. And I'm excited for everybody to hear more about you and where Klonk and Bonk and Splunk came from. So thank you so much.
I've had so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye.
Bye.